Thank you, Brother Sam. You did a fabulous job in pinch hitting there tonight. Appreciate that so much. Again, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. And just to, again, please bear with me as I am still learning names. And so that means since I also don't know names and faces, I'm learning them. I might get confused once in a while, but you just smile and correct me. You will not offend me, and I'll get your name right. And I'd rather not continue calling you Lucy when your name is Faith. So just go ahead and correct me, and then I'll get it straightened out eventually. And I'm also learning who are members and who are not members, who are snowbirds and who are, or whatever type of bird you are. I'm still learning those things, so you bear with me. So if you're here tonight and you are not a member of Harvest, I'm going to ask you, why not? And so if you are interested and would like to be a part of our church family, please see me and get the time with me where I can visit with you in your home, me and my wife, and we can visit together and talk about that, answer any questions that you may have. And then also, again, we're still recruiting for the choir. I want to encourage those who are interested, would like to sing in a choir, please see me. We want to see that choir grow. Things are different now. I want to say something, but I don't want you to misunderstand me. I grew up in a country church. And when the men met for prayer, we bowed our head and we prayed, and everybody prayed. I mean, it wasn't a competition where men tried to be louder than the others, but we did it within the room or on the altar. That's the way I grew up. I also grew up in a church where the preacher said after the opening song, you folks want to sing in the choir, you all come. And just anybody and everybody came. Now, I'm not there today because of the world we live in, because we know that on occasion there's no telling who may walk in or want to sing in a choir that might not reflect very well. But I do want to encourage those who want to sing in a choir to see me, to be involved, and so we can fill that choir up. Wouldn't it be a blessing not have enough chairs? Yeah. I mean, if we fill it up and you just sing to me, then that's fine, because they won't let me sing in a choir. Me and Barney Fife are on the same level when it comes to singing. So while I'm thinking about it, Brother Robert, if I am ever in a position where I'm leading music, both mics go off. Both mics go off. I will, and I have led music on occasion. I love to sing. I really do. I sing at home. I sing around. I sing in the car. Michelle says I sing scripturally. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so I don't think we have any millionaires in this building, but if we do, I promise you, if you came to me with a suitcase of $1 million and said, preacher, if you'll hit this note, I'll give it to you, I'll never make it. Never, never. In fact, I'll quit trying. But anyway, just a little more about me. Acts chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse 13 in just a moment. Going to share with you tonight the thought, who have you been hanging out with? Any of you guys out there, your daddy ever asked that? Asked you who you've been hanging out with? I may say that a little bit later in the service. But I want to give you a little bit of a challenge tonight. Acts chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Very important to keep this in mind. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside, out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I want to Brother Sam, would you mind standing and lifting your voice and asking God's blessing on the reading of his word and the preaching tonight, please? Here in verse 13 is our key verse. And as we look at that, does any part of this verse, as I mentioned early, jump out at you? Again, for me, it is that last part of the verse where we see the phrase that they had been with Jesus. And every time I read that, I can almost hear my father's voice as he says, "Boy, who you been hanging out with?" And that usually means that I had said something, done something, or displayed something that was out of character. And when I mean he said, "Boy, what are you up to?" he meant business. And we need to ask ourselves in our life, who are we hanging out with? Who is rubbing off on us? Who is influencing our life? And of course, as I mentioned with my dad, as he asked that question and me having to give an answer to that question. What about you tonight? Does that question sound familiar to you? If I asked you the same question, what would your answer be? See, who we hang around will rub off on us and have an impact on our life. Who is rubbing off on you? Who are you hanging out with? Some years ago, I was up north, far north in Dairy Country, and like every good pastor, and even though I grew up in a rural area in the country, I wasn't a farmer. My dad was. My mother was. I grew up in a rural area. I learned how to work, but I didn't live on a farm. But I went out to see this gentleman who was a dairy farmer. And as I walked out, I was dressed in my coat and my tie. If I did that today, I'm a little older, I would wear my rubber boots and my jeans and a flannel shirt. But I went out dressed up, my dress suit, coat on. I was dressed to the T's. I looked like Brother Cleto does on Sunday morning. I was shining. And I walked up there, and he is yelling, "Preacher, preacher, wait!" as I'm getting out of my car. And I stop, and he comes down, and he says, "Take off your coat and your tie. This stuff will get on you, and you can't get it out." Whether we realize it or not, the people we hang around with, we are influenced by them, or we influence them. In one way or another, it kind of gets on you. It sticks to you. And as we read this passage of Scripture, they were obviously saying, the leaders who were upset, they noticed that they had been with Jesus. These men, though they were unlearned and ignorant, according to the Word of God, they had been hanging out with Jesus. And dear friends, Jesus makes a big difference in so many different ways in our life. This evening, my proposition is simply this. Every church, every Christian can impact this lost world by adapting a few principles that we'll look at here in Acts chapter 4. But every church, every Christian can impact this world for the cause of Christ. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't have to be on the foreign mission field. This is our mission field right here in this area of Maricopa County. In fact, every time you get out of your car, you're entering the mission field. Every time you leave this church, you're leaving the mission field. When you leave your home, you're leaving to go to the mission field. You're entering the mission field, an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ, an opportunity to let Jesus shine through your life. These characteristics come from hanging out with Jesus. Number one, the right works. The right works. There, look again in those phrases in verse 13 and verse number 14. It speaks of them. Healing of the lame man was supernatural. They said they could say nothing against it. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of your fathers, hath glory. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Now when they had boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing. Dear friends, healing the lame man was supernatural. They could say nothing against what had been done. And dear friends, it's supernatural when we give up bad habits. It's supernatural when we get away from the alcohol. It is supernatural when God delivers you from addiction. It is supernatural when what was a filthy mouth is now praising God. Dear friends, supernatural things take place when we hang around a supernatural Lord. Are we hanging around with the Lord? Are we spending time with Him in the Word? Dear friend, is God doing anything supernatural in your life? Are you asking the Lord to do something? Are you pleading with the Lord, "Lord, do something in and through my life"? Let me encourage you tonight before we go on to this next one. This aspect of the right works. Is it not the right works to be a witness? Is it not the right works to tell someone about the love of Christ and to live out that life? Is it not the right works to bend down or reach down and help someone, a brother or sister up, or even a lost person up? We need to reflect Christ in those things that we do and the things that we say and within the places that we go. God will use us if we say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Number two, the right words. I won't read all the passages of Scripture, but that's verses 18 through 20, the right words. There in verse 18 it says, they were not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They were rebuking them because they were using the right words. They were doing the right thing. And dear friends, when we point to the Lord and we use Scripture and we let the Word of God do our fighting, let the Word of God work as only it could work, this is the right words. It is right when we honor God over man. It did not matter what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the naysayers were saying. They were going to do what is right. They were not only going to be involved in the right works, but the right words. In verse 20, we see that it says, we have seen and heard. See, a man that has been with Jesus has seen him. A man that has seen him will also know him. A man that knows him will speak about him. And dear friends, Peter spoke from experience. I'll share a few of those things in just a moment. But Peter spoke from experience. I would imagine if we took the time tonight, we could go through this auditorium and we could tell stories about how God worked miracles in our life, how God used us to be a blessing and to make a difference in the life of someone else. And dear friends, God hasn't stopped doing that. We need to ask ourselves, are we making ourselves available to do those things? Are we making ourselves available saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, will you use me today? Now think about it. Don't raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. When's the last time you left the home and you prayed, Lord, help me to be a blessing to someone today? Lord, help me to share Christ today. Lord, help me to open my Bible. Give me the opportunity that I can show someone of the Lord. Father, give me an opportunity today just to brag upon the Lord. Right now it's football season. And if we were back in Germany, as we were a few years ago, we had a young lady in our church, and I spoke of her before. Her name is Amanda, and I mentioned to you about how she's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. She always has those flags just a-waving during football season. And I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, at the gas pumps, at the cash register, somewhere along the way, there's going to be an armchair quarterback is going to try to defend why their team lost. Am I telling the truth? They're going to talk about how and why the Eagles won against San Francisco or what took place. I haven't seen the game. I didn't see it. Someone just told me the score. But you know what? There's always going to be somebody out there. So, oh, man, if we'd have just done that, if the coach would have just done that. I wonder if we're as ready to talk about what I can do today, what we can do today, what God did at church. Instead of talking about the ball game at the gas pumps tomorrow, talk about how God moved at Harvest Baptist Church. Instead of talking about, I'm so excited, I can't believe the Eagles have another winning season. Man, I hope they do well against whoever they play next. How about saying, boy, we had a wonderful time of fellowship. Man, it was so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. The choir was on, man. They just did a wonderful job, the congregation. And even the preacher rang the bell. You should have been there. Boy, talking like that, why wouldn't people want to come visit our church? If someone's looking for a church, why wouldn't they want to come visit? Those supernatural works, the right words, and how we share our faith and things about our church in our community. Look at a few things about Peter. Peter spoke from experience. Peter says, I saw him when he walked on the water. I walked with him. Peter says, I saw him when he disrupted a funeral by raising the dead. I saw him when he healed the blind. I saw him when he healed deaf ears. Peter witnessed and others witnessed many of those things. I saw him when he made the crippled legs walk. I saw him. I saw him. Wouldn't you like to rejoice and get excited and talk about what you've seen and what you saw God do in your life or for a friend or for a family member? Dear friends, I'm afraid that the preaching in our churches today is weak and watered down across the board. I don't want to talk bad about other denominations, other churches, but look at the world that we're living in. There's got to be something missing. Has to be. I believe they're watered down because they have not seen or heard anything. Dear friends, we need to spend more time with Jesus and less time with and in the world. We have to work. We have to earn a paycheck. For some of y'all that are retired, but you still have to work. There's still things you have to do. Does your wife have a honey-do list, Brother Allen, for you to do? I call them honey-do list. We have a blackboard when we were in a previous home that we lived in. Michelle would write in the things she wanted me to do during the week. And as I would do them, I would put a line through them. And Michelle would come along and erase it. And I would go back and write it down again and put a line through it. It looks better when it's there and marked off, gentlemen. Amen? Not just erase. It shows accomplishment. So if we're making a checklist tonight and we're writing down some things that we want to do for the Lord, that we want God to use us in, and we write down these lists, are we able to write some lines through them because the Lord succeeded? We yielded ourselves in such a way that God worked in a miraculous way? Folks, I don't know about you. We serve an awesome, amazing, miraculous God. And guess what? He uses people like you and me. We just have to make ourselves available to be used. We may have to live in this world, but we don't have to allow the world to live in us. Let's move on. Number three, the right walk. The right walk. Not only the right works, the right words, but the right walk. Verse number 23. The Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. The right walk. It says there again that phrase, they went to their own company. They returned to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They pressed on and they did not allow peer pressure to sway them or to sway their walk for and with the Lord. They did not allow them to be discouraged. Let me tell you how you can know when you have been hanging out with Jesus. Easy is when you haven't been hanging out with the devil or his crowd. It's the bottom line. It's easy. I gave the illustration this morning about the gentleman who was locked up in Siberia and had the privilege of talking to him. Again, that aspect of him, even though he was challenged, even though he was locked up, as soon as they let him out, he is back preaching again the very next service. They locked him up again. He went away for a while. They let him out. He came back again, and he preached again. But this time, his church said, Pastor, let's go meet in the woods so they don't find you so quick. And they started having services out in the wilderness where they couldn't be found so the preacher could preach the gospel and feed his people. But it also didn't stop him from witnessing within his community. Dear friends, separate yourself from the world and hang out with Jesus. Spend time with your friends. Spend time with your family. But make sure you set aside a time where it's just you and the Lord. That you set aside a time that there's no one else. Now, I know I cut up and I tease a lot, and I call Michelle, if you haven't heard already, Michelle is princess. It's too much effort to be a queen. She's princess. And Michelle is sacred about her prayer time and her time with the Lord, and I honor that in me with her. But I appreciate having a wife, and we all need to do this, where I get up in the morning, I make coffee, because I like the way I make it better than the way she makes it. But I make the coffee, and I bring her a cup of coffee in her recliner. I bend over and give her a kiss, and she says, I love you. Now go to your office and leave me alone. Because she wants to have her time before her day starts. She wants to have her time with the Lord before things get going. I read a little cartoon some time ago that a lady was praying and asking the Lord's blessings and telling the Lord how things have been good so far and how she hasn't lost her temper, she hasn't yelled at the kids, and her and her husband haven't had any disagreements. And then she said, but Lord, I'm getting ready to get out of bed and things are going to get hard. Sometimes we feel that way. But the best way to enter that hardness of the world is spending time with God. Spending time with him, because he knows our hearts, he knows our shortcomings, he knows our strengths, and he will supply the strength that we need to press on. Separate yourself and hang out with the Lord Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. We have to live in the world, but we don't have to get in the hog pen of sin among all the others out there. Reach your friends and your peers, but keep yourself clean. I heard the illustration years ago for you Navy fellas and those out there that like to fish or on the boats. The ship is safe in the water as long as the water is not in the ship. We're safe in this world that we live in as long as we allow the world to enter in. Guard your eye gates. Guard your ear gates. Be careful what you're exposed to, and be prepared to know that you have a way of escape when the devil comes his way. But dear friends, if we're going to make a difference in this world that we live in, we have to make a decision. I'm going to hang out with the Lord. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I want to learn and be prepared when I start my day to have the right works, to have the right words, and have the right walk, because I've been spending time with Jesus. And then lastly tonight, the right worship. The right worship. Let's go ahead and look at verses 24 and verse number 31. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which have made heaven and an earth and the sea and all that is in them is. And then jump over to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You cross-reference that with Acts chapter 1, and the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness in witnessing. That's the evidence of being Spirit-filled. And here they were excited. They had the right worship. And I believe with all of my heart this morning that we had the right worship. We lifted our voices unto Him. We sang, the choir sang, we fellowshiped. We sang some more congregational songs. We had the preaching of the Word of God. We had some time of fellowship. We just had a day that glorified God. And that's the type of worship, the right worship we need to have, not just at church, but in our private life at home, a time of worship and a time of praise. There in verse 24, their worship was unified. They were on the same page. They were on the same page. And the same with us. We're on the same page, moving in the same direction, celebrating our Lord and doing all that we can to serve Him. And then in verse 31, their worship, if you think about it, was unforgettable. Look at verse 31 again. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine what it would be like in a church service? Us lifting our voices in song, getting ready for the preaching of the Word of God, spending time in prayer, and the place just shaking. I know we're close to California, but not an earthquake. The place was just shaken. We were shaken in the sense of being Spirit-filled and so overwhelmed with the Spirit of God that we're like, Lord, I need more. Lord, I want Lord. Lord, show me, feed me, fill me that I might go out and make a difference in the life of others. See, when we adapt that as believers and as Christians, an aspect of understanding the things that we take in, Lord, help us to also to share it out that others may know. Because you know what, folks? I've learned some things along the years. Churches are different. But there's one thing that is not different in the commonality, and that is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are on where we need to be, following the Lord Jesus, have repented of our sins, have trusted Christ as our Savior, going out wanting to share the good news, God just has a way of using those who are willing to be used. Will we make ourselves available? You see, there are people that live in this community that I already know this. I already know this. I don't know everyone in this community, but I know this. I cannot reach everyone in this community. I can't. It's impossible. There are some people in this community that might not even talk to me when I get the word preacher or pastor out. But they might listen to you. There's folks in this community that might listen to me in a time of need because they think it's a good idea to have a minister pray for them. There's all different types of things that will take place through our life. I remember, and I'll close with this illustration, this aspect of the right worship and ministering and reaching others. Rob was a gentleman who was a husband of a wife in the church we were members of in Germany when Michelle and I were very young, newly married, had one child. And Rob, his wife prayed for him every single Wednesday night. She raised her hand for prayer service. Pray for my husband, Rob. He's not saved. And one night after service, I went by and I asked her, I said, Sister, I'm praying for Rob, but do you mind if I ask, how long have you been praying for Rob? She said, 7 years. Without fail, every Wednesday night, raising her hand for 7 years. Without fail, 7 days a week, praying for her husband. We had pastors. She had different pastors. The military moved them around. To no avail, Rob would never darken the doors. And then one day, our pastor resigned. Had to go back to the States with some health issues, being overseas in Germany, some guidelines to be able to get in the country. A new pastor came in, and Brother Kirk was a unique man. Brother Kirk was not a dynamic preacher, but Brother Kirk loved people. And you knew that he loved you. There was no doubt that he loved you. And he was an amazing, I got a brain cramp. You know that lathe that turns and you put metal in it and you make it into different things? Huh? What's that called? Well, y'all as dumb as I am tonight. Huh? Whatever it is, he made stuff out of metal on a lathe. He was very good at it. And I know you know what it is. I've got a brain cramp here. But machinist, thank you. A machinist. He was good. And he could fix anything that had a motor, anything that was mechanical. And Rob was a mechanic. And so Brother Kirk said, well, he pulled the wife aside and he asked me, Brother Cook, this lady, she prays for her husband every single Wednesday. I said, yes, sir, for 7 years. We've been praying for 2 years. And so he lines it up and he goes and he visits Rob at home. And he says, he's a preacher. And Rob automatically says, he turns around and says, honey, the preacher's here. And he walks to the back room. He comes in and he said, Rob, I'm here to see you. I need your help. What? You're not trying to get me to come to church? I said, no. Will you come over to the church on Saturday and help me fix this van? Every Saturday for 6 weeks, they worked underneath that van trying to get it fixed, doing all types of work with the suspension, the steering. I found out later that Brother Kirk could have finished it one day by himself, but he wanted more time with Rob. And they worked, and they worked, and they became friends. And then one Sunday morning, Rob walked in the back door. His wife started weeping that he would even showed up at church. I said, and eventually got saved. But I said all that to say this. I can't reach everyone. You can't reach everyone. But we can reach people through the talents and abilities that we have to minister to them, be patient with them, love on them. And then one day, they'll walk through those back doors. One day, they'll be ready to hear the gospel. But unless we're hanging out with Jesus, unless we have the right works, the right words, the right walk, and the right worship, the chances of those things begin to go down a little bit. Let's do all we can to see those chances go up by making ourselves available for God to use and making a difference in the life of others. Let's all stand together for prayer. We'll have a short invitation tonight so we can finish up with I know the trustees need to meet again, but I just can't help but to think tonight with the message that maybe there's someone here tonight that maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart in some way that realizing that I need to do more. I'm not doing as much as I used to do. Maybe the phrase in your mind is, well, I used to teach a class. I used to sing in the choir. I used to be an usher. I used to. Maybe God has spoken to your heart tonight. And maybe you need to come and pray or pray where you stand, but come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I don't want to say I used to. I want to say I am doing this. I will do this. I am serving. I am being used of the Lord. Father, you know the needs that are represented tonight in the hearts of your people. Lord, may we respond, Father, starting with this preacher. Father, help me to be so yielded to you, Father, that there's no doubt when you speak to my heart about talking to someone or stopping and pulling over to have a conversation or talking to the gentleman in the next aisle pumping gas, that, Father, I'll be obedient to you. Father, please bless this time in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our piano